WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's 70 degrees with cloudy skies. Good morning, I'm Marissa Hovde, KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Each year, landowners and others are allowed to harvest hay out of highway rights-of-way by permit. The Iowa Department of Transportation requires those permits for several reasons, one of which is the protection of habitat. The Iowa DOT begins the permitting process in the spring, but harvesting hay is not allowed until July 15th. Joy Williams, an agronomist with the Iowa DOT's Roadside Development Section, said July 15th was chosen as a compromise for hay harvesting to begin, to both help those wanting to harvest hay and to protect bird habitat. Many people would like to harvest hay sooner and then take a second cutting in September, but that conflicts with the nesting season. It's also hard on the native grasses and does not allow winter cover for birds. When early spring weather is cold and damp, later harvesting of hay from the right-of-way is even more important, especially for pheasant habitat. Pheasants nest several times throughout the year, says Todd Bogenschutz, the upland wildlife biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Sometimes nests are destroyed by floods. We probably had a lot of that this year, about 35% to 45% of pheasant, 62% of quail, and 60% to 70% of songbird nests hatch after July 1st. The Iowa DOT has established two periods for harvesting grass within the state-maintained highway right-of-way, July 15th through September 1st for cool-season grasses and forage legumes, July 15th through August 15th for areas containing warm-season native grasses. An Iowa DOT harvesting and mowing permit application is available from your area representative or online at forms.iowadot.gov. The application covers three types of operations: mowing only, harvesting hay in large or small bales, or harvesting plant material other than hay with machinery, by hand or with hand tools. Contact the representative serving the area nearest where you would like to harvest grass to receive assistance in processing your permit application. In Atlantic, contact Vicki Brown at 712-243-7621 or email at vicki.brown@dot.iowa.gov. KJAN News Time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Nebraska man early this morning. 20-year-old Timothy Gene Humphrey of Omaha, Nebraska was arrested and charged with possession with intent to deliver meth, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and on a warrant for failure to appear for trespassing. Humphrey's bond was set at $50,000. The Atlantic Police Department reports an accident Wednesday at 22nd and Palm Streets. James Sievers of Audubon was traveling eastbound on 22nd Street when his vehicle left the road and entered the south ditch, struck a utility pole, and then bounced back 50 feet. Sievers was transported to Cass County Memorial Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Damage to his vehicle was estimated at $10,000. The Iowa Soybean Association has launched an informational campaign to help farmers deal with weeds that are becoming resistant to the farm chemicals commonly used to kill them. Iowa State University agronomist Mike Owens says herbicide-resistant weeds are present in 20 to 30% of Iowa soybean fields, about 2 to 3 million acres, and the area is likely to grow. He says most farmers are just a year or two away from a serious weed control problem, as each generation of seed becomes more resistant to weed killers used most often. Strategies include rotating chemicals used from year to year, controlling weeds in waterways, edges, and ditches, and increasing crop rotation to break weed cycles. Republican businessman Mark Jacobs says he's exploring a run for U.S. Senate in 2014. Jacobs, the former CEO of the Texas-based Reliant Energy, says today he's forming an exploratory committee to review running for the seat being vacated by retiring Democratic Senator Tom Harkin. The 51-year-old native Iowan moved his family to Iowa last year. A Des Moines woman has pled guilty to a hit-and-run crash that killed a man in March. The Des Moines Register reports that 26-year-old Christine Annette Gordon pled guilty Wednesday to leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death involuntary manslaughter, and driving while barred. The charges stem from a March 16th incident in which Gordon hit 58-year-old Clayton Evan Payne as he was crossing a street in Des Moines. He died at a hospital. Her lawyer, Peter Berger, says at first she thought she'd hit a dog. However, she was talking on a cell phone with her brother, who was driving close behind her, when the accident occurred, and he told her she'd hit a person. She stopped, but panicked and left. Gordon will be sentenced August 7th. Des Moines police say a man has been found shot to death in his house. Police and medics were called to the home about 2:30 p.m. Wednesday. Sergeant Jason Halifax says they found a man identified as 20-year-old Christopher Byers inside the residence with a gunshot wound. Byers was rushed to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police classified the death as a homicide but wouldn't say how many times Byers had been shot. Neighbor Brian Helly Ragley told the Des Moines Register he heard three or four pops that he assumed were fireworks. A few minutes later, he heard more pops. He says the house had been boarded up until recently. Police were seeking a dark blue or purple van they say may be involved in the killing. A national food distributor has resolved a race discrimination lawsuit involving graffiti at its Mason City warehouse. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission announced Wednesday that a federal magistrate judge entered a consent decree Monday, resolving their suit against Meadowbrook Meat Company, Inc. The EEOC claimed in a 2012 lawsuit that Meadowbrook failed for months in 2011 to remove racist graffiti in a men's restroom that included a swastika and references to the Ku Klux Klan, despite complaints from an African-American employee. The consent decree means that the North Carolina-based Meadowbrook will pay $15,000 in compensatory damages to three former employees who saw the graffiti. It also means the company will repaint the restrooms and train employees on race discrimination. A Canadian software firm has purchased a small Iowa information security company for an undisclosed amount. Des Moines-based Palisades Systems announced Tuesday that its five employees will stay in the capital city and work for Vancouver-based Absolute Software Corp. The Des Moines Register reports the security software company will use Palisades' data loss prevention software to complement its catalog of government, risk management, and compliance products. The newspaper reported Palisade was once a promising tech startup with about 25 employees, but many employees left during the process of selling the company and its assets. An 80-year-old Decorah man has claimed his $2 million Powerball prize. Don Johnson claimed his prize Wednesday and said he'll use the money to pay for his wife's nursing home care. The Iowa Lottery says Johnson picked five of the first six numbers in Saturday's drawing, but missed the Powerball number. He'd added the power play to his ticket, so the $1 million prize for five numbers was doubled to $2 million. The jackpot-winning ticket in Saturday's $131.5 million Powerball drawing was sold in Philadelphia. In national and world headlines, President Barack Obama says he's not going to engage in wheeling, dealing, and trading to get Edward Snowden extradited to the U.S. The former government contractor disclosed two secret government surveillance programs. Obama says he hasn't personally called the leaders of China or Russia. Snowden is believed to be at a Moscow airport after fleeing Hong Kong. White House officials say it'll be left up to the family of former South African President Nelson Mandela to decide whether he's up for a visit from President Barack Obama this weekend. Obama, who is in Senegal, will travel to South Africa, where the 94-year-old Mandela is gravely ill in a hospital with a lung infection. Today, Obama called Mandela a hero for the world whose legacy will linger through the ages. A final vote before the Senate on immigration overhaul could come today. Numerous test votes this week indicate the bill should have no trouble being passed by Democrats and some Republicans. It proposes spending billions of dollars on securing the border and offering citizenship to millions living in the U.S. illegally. But the bill's outlook in the GOP-controlled House is uncertain. An American boss who had been held by his angry Chinese workers for nearly a week says he plans to get back into business and even rehire some of the workers who kept him hostage. Chip Starnes walked out of the Beijing area factory earlier today after his U.S. company transferred funds to the employees who demanded severance because they believed the plant was shutting down. The workers also say the company owed them back wages. The funeral for Sopranos actor James Gandolfini will be held this morning in New York City. The service at the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine comes after a private wake yesterday in New Jersey. The 51-year-old actor died last week of a heart attack while vacationing in Italy with his son. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Richard Beeman, 78, of Greenfield, died Monday, June 24th at the Greenfield Manor. Memorial services for Richard Beeman will be held at 10:30 a.m. today at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of arrangements. Wanda Jensen, 91, of Fontenelle, died Sunday, June 23rd at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Services for Wanda Jensen will be held at 10:30 a.m. today at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Dorothy Ann Becker, 71, of Ames and formerly of Atlantic, died June 20th at the Israel Hospice House in Ames. Services for Dorothy Ann Becker will be held at 11 a.m. today at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Max Jacobson, 82, of Greenfield, died Monday, June 24th at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Services for Max Jacobson will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, June 28th at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Charlotte Ann Thorson, 55, of Atlantic, died Saturday, June 22nd, from complications relating to her battle with breast cancer. A private family church service for Charlotte Ann Thorson is planned for Friday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Mildred Bowen, 93, of Greenfield, died Monday, June 24th at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Services for Mildred Bowen will be held at 1:30 p.m. Friday, June 28th, at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Gerald Bowman, 89, of Coon Rapids, died Sunday, June 23rd, at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Services for Gerald Bowman will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 29th, at First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Gladys Cunningham, 97, of Atlantic, died Monday, June 24th, at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Gladys Cunningham will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, July 1st, in the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary K. Brannan, 98, of Audubon, died Tuesday, June 25th, at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Mass of Christian Burial for Mary K. Brannan will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 2nd, in the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. The news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Marissa Hovde, KJAN News.